But I'm teasing. But it was good, and I'll tell you, I love the testimonies and just hearing the stories about how God has changed the hearts of our people. It's been just an uplifting week. We also had such a great turnout for our food bank, our food ministry, and ministering to people here in town and providing food for families in need, single moms, some of our seniors that are in need, and it's just such a blessing. I'll tell you, as you serve, it's amazing. I love there's a line in the movie Seabiscuit. I love it. I share it all the time, but at the end, you know, they're trying to fix this racehorse, and it's just kind of a broken down horse, and they're trying to get it ready for the Kentucky Derby, and he says at the very end of the movie, he says, "All along, we thought we were fixing a broken down racehorse, but in the end, he ended up fixing us." And that's what happens when we serve and we are giving of ourselves and we begin to kind of enter the lives of broken people and begin to minister to them. They end up fixing parts of us. So thank you. And we have a big pile of food out there. Avery Tilly and some of the kids at his school had been raising and pulling together some food. So Avery, thank you. And thank those, be sure to thank those at your school for that. Well, we're going to end our series called How Did We Begin Today. I've been out for the last couple weeks, no preaching for 2 weeks. It's been kind of rough, you know. I turned things over to first it was Jason Nolte a couple weeks ago, and he's always just great and so gracious, and I appreciate him and his ministry. And then we had John James from the Newsboys. So Jason had to come before John James, you know, from the Newsboys. And his testimony the last week was just great. And so, you know, God's been doing great things. And this past week I was thinking about what in the world could possibly be going through a caterpillar's mind. Because one day the caterpillar's sort of crawling around on the ground, right? It's going about an inch an hour. Just this little creepy, little fuzzy looking caterpillar. And then it takes a nap one day. And it wakes up from the nap and it has wings. And now it goes from crawling around on the ground to now it's flying and it's got these colorful wings. It was once this little slimy thing on the ground and now it's flying around and it has a completely different perspective. It sees things differently. It just has a whole different way of and a whole different viewpoint of life. And as you think about that, think about what it means to be a new creation in Christ. You know, we've been talking about this amazing creation that God has created. And as we look around the world, I'll tell you, it's so easy for us to take for granted the things that God has made. And he made them from nothing, as we learned a few weeks ago. He spoke them into existence. And when we see this and we see this world, it's so easy for us to just sort of take it for granted. Like, I'm sure many of you do the same thing, but I find myself losing my sense of awe and wonder of this incredible world and universe that God has created. Scripture says that the heavens, the skies, proclaim the glory of God. And his fingerprint is everywhere, but we're so familiar with it, and that's the dangers of familiarity. You know, it's sort of like we experience this in our homes, don't we? The familiarity of marriage, and we begin to get distracted. And when we begin to take advantage and take for granted, I should say, our spouse. Or we get involved in something, and the longer we're involved in it, the more we lose our interest in it. And I'll tell you, do whatever it takes to recapture and reclaim the wonder and the awe of God's creation, okay? This is important because we're going to find out today not only did God create all the things that we see, But we'll find out today that he offers to give us new life, that we can become a new creation in him. Amen? And so there's, you know, there's all these, there's so many unanswered questions, aren't there? But today I'm confident in my own life that there's enough answers. There's enough answers. There's enough evidence to give us enough confidence and clarity to trust him. And so when we have this question, how did we begin? It's so important to be able to understand that it's not just how we began, but it's why. It's not only how did God create us, but why did God create us? You know, that's the bigger question, is the why. Thank you so much, Jacob. I needed that, man. So if you're interested in explaining or in understanding your origin, we make a mistake when we think it's just a bunch of natural processes or some kind of biological chain of events where things just came together randomly. Because the mistake we make if we approach life this way is when we say that, we're at the same time saying that life, our lives are random, and our lives are pointless, and our lives came together for no particular reason. But yet we look all around and we see purpose and meaning in everything that we see, and we see purpose and meaning in the people that God has created, and the hands that we have, and the eyes, and the ears and the nose and the life that we have and the trees and the sun. We see purpose and meaning in everything. So if how we began is random, and if it's pointless, and if that's the case, then that means truth is relative and life is pointless and life has no particular reason. But we found out early on in this series who you are and where you're going is based on how you began. And if you can pin that down and you can say, you know, God created me for a purpose. He has a purpose for my life. He has a reason for me being here. Then we start to live out that purpose. And so when we examine the how, we come to understand better the why. And that's what we're going to talk about today. One of the things that I've realized about this life and how God has wired us, you know, he's wired us to worship, grow, and serve. He's wired us to worship, grow, and serve. You see this right here on the wall over here, worship, grow, and serve. And we continue to share this with our people here to get everybody on board. Everyone should be worshiping on Sunday with the congregation, growing in a life group and serving in a ministry. And we want to use that model to help you understand what it means to have a healthy walk with the Lord. Well, why is that so important? Well, it goes back to his creation. He's created us. Why did he create us? Well, we learned a few weeks ago, he created us for his glory. He created us to bring attention to him. In everything that we do, we bring attention to him. So we worship him, and we grow. We grow how? We grow to know him, and we serve him, and we serve other people. And as we do that, we understand what more and more of what our purpose is on this earth. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Our lives, all of it, was directed by the Creator. See, the how is good to know. In fact, it's important that we iron it out, because the how points to the why. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You're going to see this on the screen, just one verse. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, this is the Apostle Paul, and he says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I'm going to say that again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And as I was studying this, I read how this was actually written in the original language, and it's so different in how we read it in our English translations, but Paul is making this an exciting and an expressive statement when he says this. And there should be actually an exclamation point in this, in how it's written in the original. But he's saying, if anyone is in Christ, in the original language, it says, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation, exclamation point, the old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Is that you? Is that you today? Have you ever made a decision to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because if you have, you are a new creation. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. And so when we read it, and we see this, this is a very specific statement that applies to every person, this verse. Not just the people of their time. Paul's not just talking to the people of that day. He's not just talking to the disciples, those who were following Jesus at that time. This wasn't just applying to Paul's life himself. And the word if here, it says, if anyone is in Christ, it leaves us with two possibilities. One is you are either in Christ. The other possibility is you are not in Christ. So when we see the word if, again, it leaves us those two possibilities. You are either in Christ or you are not in Christ. But if you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. And this new creation has taken place in you. In Galatians 6:15, Paul, he returns to this theme and he says this, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And what he's saying is, the only thing that really matters is the new creation, is that you are a new creation. And what he was doing, he was talking to these Jews, and he was saying, look, your circumcision, your religious practices, they amount to nothing. They don't amount to anything. What amounts to everything is that you are a new creation. And he's driving home that point to them. And it's not, are you religious? And it's not, do you go to church? And it's not, do you have the little fish bumper sticker on your car? The question is, are you a new creation? Are you a new creation? It's interesting because this whole sermon series is about creation, and we've been spending time in the book of Genesis talking about the previous creation. The creation of our world, the creation of the universe, of our bodies, of us. In the Old Testament, David, he was guilty of adultery and murder. You might remember this story. He had Uriah killed. He had been cheating, or he had been sleeping with Uriah's wife. So he had committed adultery, and now he had Uriah killed. And Nathan had brought this sin to David. He was remorsing over his sin, and he was crying out to God. And listen to what he says. He's crying out to God, and he says this. This is in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit in me. He didn't just say, improve my heart, or fix it, or make it better. He says, create in me a new heart. And he could have said to improve it. He could have said to repair it. He could have said, help me to turn over a new leaf. But he's asking for God to create in him something new. And he knew what he really needed. He needed God to create a new heart. And maybe that's you today. And you're realizing you can't fix you. And you can't repair you. And you've tried to turn over a new leaf many, many times. But listen, today, maybe God is calling you to become a new creation, where you take your old, and the old passes away, and behold, all things become new. You see, that's what we all need, and we're going to see that here in just a moment as we continue forward. But only God can create. Only God can create. The result of sin in our lives is such that it cannot be repaired, and it cannot be improved, and it cannot be adjusted. And we can't do this on our own. We can't take this life and fix it on our own. It can't be repaired. It has to be made new. It has to be a new creation. There is no fixing sin. We can't do it ourselves. So we cannot be fixed. It's interesting. Think about the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He says, "What must I do?" And Jesus looks at him and he says, "You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born anew. Nicodemus, you must be a new creation." And so what is all this saying? The fact that Paul speaks about this, a new creation, it indicates that there is a previous creation, right? There's a previous creation, and we addressed this the last few weeks in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You'll see this on the screen. We see this account. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." And this word dust, you've probably heard this before, but this word dust, it can be, there's several words that could be used there, but clay is one of them. In fact, the verse just prior to this, in verse 6, it talks about this moisture that came up, or this mist that came up out of the ground. And so that mist mixed with the dust was probably like clay. And God used this clay, this lowly substance, to shape man. How did he do it? I have no idea. I have no idea. But he took this earthen substance. It's probably something we find mostly on this earth is soil and dirt and dust and clay. And he uses it to shape man. And then it says in verse 7, it says that he breathed life into him and he became a living creature. God formed this body of clay, and it says he breathed life into it. And so I want you to think about it. The eyes opened and the ears began to hear. And the nose began to smell, and the hand began to touch, and the miracle of life came forth. And I read recently that in one human eye, there's 3 million working parts. God shaped that and formed that, and only God could do that. Only God could do something so orderly and so complex. This couldn't happen by random, right? Couldn't happen by random. It's too orderly and way too complex for something so extraordinary to happen at random. So how did we begin? Well, the Bible says that God spoke and things begin to appear. And God formed from the clay, and God breathed, and man came alive. So listen. When your watch starts to go wrong, you don't take it to a boot repairman. And when your computer starts to go wrong, you don't take it to a barber, right? And when your life starts to go wrong, you don't take it somewhere out there. You take it to the Creator. And there is no one who knows you more than your Creator. He created you. He shaped you. He formed you. And if you need fixing, you go to your Creator. And think about it. If this is a correct account of creation, as we've read through the book of Genesis, then going to God for healing, to heal your body, is not fanaticism. You know, it's not being a fanatic. It just makes logical sense, right? That we go to the one who created us, who put us together. It just makes logical sense that we do that. And it's not being a fanatic when you speak of God being a healing God. Amen? And so God created us, He formed us, He breathed life into us. So who are we? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I like what Paul says. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you," sanctify means set you apart, "sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. Man consists of these three elements. The in-breathed spirit came from God. The body came from the earth, right? The clay. And from the union of the spirit and the body came the soul. R.C. Sproul says this. "There's something that pulls us upward, and there's something that pulls us downward." It's kind of like the spirit, by the spirit, we're drawn to the heavenlies, and by the earth, we're drawn back to this earth. And I think too many of us are more drawn to the earth than drawn to Him. So we have this triune man, the spirit and soul and body, and we have this triune God, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. And we come to know so much about who we really are when we see these things and we see what God has done. But unfortunately, man turns away from God. And we see this in Genesis chapter 3. In fact, during that sin, that what happened in the garden, it wasn't just man who fell, but it was the entire creation. When man sinned, the entire creation fell. Why? Because man had dominion over the earth. And so when man sinned, everything fell. Isaiah 59:2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that you will not hear." You are cut off from God. Your iniquities and your sins have cut you off from God. Have cut me off from God. Romans 6:23 says, "And the wages of sin is death, it's eternal separation. Our spirit is separated from God, it is dead. Our souls are now, because of sin, rebellious, and our body is in decay." And you don't believe your body is in decay, just continue to live, okay? Your hair will start to fall out. Your teeth will probably eventually fall out. You'll start to lose your hearing. Your eyesight goes bad. Your joints start to ache a little bit more, right? Romans 7:24-25, Paul says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Who will deliver me from this body of death? So the Bible gives us not only an understanding of sin, but it gives us hope, and it gives us a plan, and it gives us clarity and confidence in our Creator. That's what the Bible does. And as we turn to the words of God found in the Bible, the Word of God, we begin to receive something. this plan that's put together, this plan that makes the crooked way straight, this plan that makes the broken person healed. And this book, his word, it reveals the problem, but it also reveals the solution. It reveals the disease, which is sin, right? But it also reveals the cure. And so man turns away from God in disobedience. God created him, gave him a perfect place to live, put him right in the garden. But man's heart turned away from God. And when that happened, that disobedience affected everything, the spirit, the soul, and the body. And at that time in the garden, Adam died spiritually when he rebelled against God. His spirit died. And this is what happens to all of us. Listen, we're going to make our way a little bit through the book of Ephesians, but it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." In Ephesians 4:17, Paul describes those who are dead in sin, and he says this. Listen, this is those who are dead in sin. He says, "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." Look, we're all ignorant, okay? So don't think that the preacher's calling me ignorant. Look, we all are. All right? And when we are lost in our sin, we are darkened in our understanding. We are alienated from the life of God. So here's the life of God. Here's the life that God has for you. We are alienated from that, separated from that. Isaiah says we are cut off from that. Our sins have done that. They've cut us off. And so we have this God, and he's created us. He's given us life here on this earth. We have turned from him. We've sinned. Sin messes everything up. It affects everything. Ephesians 4:22 tells us we must put off our old self, which belongs to our former manner of life, he says, and is corrupted through deceitful desires. We must put that off. In verse 24, it says, "And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." We put off the new self when we become that new creation. That's the new creation. So let me just share a couple things about the new creation. You're going to see this on the screen, John chapter 20, verse 19. This is Jesus, and this is Jesus' first. I'm trying to speed through. This is 2 weeks worth of a message, and I'm speeding through some stuff, okay? But this is John chapter 20, and here's what's going on. Jesus, this is his first appearance to the disciples after the resurrection, okay? And so here he is. And you remember, and we're going to kind of breeze through this a little bit, but you'll remember he shows, Thomas was saying, "I won't believe that he resurrected from the dead unless I see his nail-pierced hands and feet." And so here's Jesus, and he's showing them the nail-pierced hands and feet. Then he says, go on to verse 22, if you would. He says, and it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now think back to the first creation. Let's go back to that. Dwight, can you go back to Genesis 2:7? "Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." You see the parallels there? You see the parallels? God breathed into that body of clay the breath of life. And here's Jesus. I mean, can you see this, how these two things relate? So when that happened after the resurrection, when Jesus breathed into them, a new creation took place. And this is huge. I mean, think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, his life conquered sin. and death and hell and the grave and Satan and that life that conquered sin, death, hell, the grave and Satan breathes life into them and they receive this new life. This new life. And listen, you can join the church and not ever change. And you can sit in a chair on Sunday and never change. In fact, many go to church all over America, and they come looking to get fixed. And every week they're thinking, man, I need to get more fixed and more fixed. No, you need to be a new creation in Christ. A new creation in Christ. Because you can go to a secular counselor and you can try to get some motivation, and those things might get you kind of encouraged once in a while, but it's only the Creator that can fix you, that can give you new life. It is only Him. And maybe you're here today and you need to hear this, and you can't seem to fix the problems that are going on in your life, and you have you've tried. Well, listen, today you need to become a new creation. You need to become a new creation. Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit of Him, this is speaking of Jesus, if Jesus is the Spirit that's within Jesus, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. Give life to your clay-made body. You know, it's interesting, too, in Genesis chapter 3, I can't remember exactly where it's at. It might be verse 17, somewhere around there. It tells us that these bodies will go back to the dust. It says that again also in the book of Ecclesiastes, that this body, when it dies, it goes back to the dust. Why? Because God's more interested in your spirit. And when you become a new creation, the scripture says in the book of Ezekiel that God will give you a new heart. And that's what happens at the point of you making a decision to trust Jesus Christ. He puts a new heart in you and replaces that heart of stone, that old heart, with a new heart. And you begin, listen, what happens is you begin to desire new things. Why? Because you're a new creation. You don't know what it's all about. I understand that. When you first come into a relationship with Christ, it's some things just seem so confusing. It's hard to even know where to begin. But all you know is you have a new desire in you to pursue the one that made you. It's a pursuit. And I don't know where you are today, but maybe you've been here for a while and God has been stirring your heart. And you are where you are, right? But you want to go to a new place. And maybe, you've had everything together. Maybe at work things are going really well, but at home everything's falling apart. Maybe you can be a success over here, but over here it's just a disaster. Maybe it's flipped, right? Or maybe it's just all sort of falling apart. You can't fix you. You can't fix you. Only He can make you into the person that He has called you to be. And maybe you're worried about everything. And you can't seem to fix the worry problem inside you. And so when this worry goes away, you go to the next worry. When that worry's gone, you go to the next one, and you're driving your husband crazy. All right? Look, He can give you our wife crazy. He can give you the peace that passes all understanding. And listen, It's not that all things are going to be just perfect and peachy all the time. It's that you're going to know you're in the will of God. You're walking in His truth. You're living by His Spirit. And come what may, and this is where the Apostle Paul was. I remember this picture in the book of Acts where he and Silas are in prison and they're singing praises to God and they're about to be killed. As far as they knew, they could have died in there. in this dungeon and they're singing praises to God. Why? It's because no matter what the circumstances, they were at peace. Why? Because they knew that they had a relationship that lasts for all eternity. In fact, Paul desired more to be with God in heaven than on this earth. And so let me ask you today, we know that every person in this room has been born, right? You have been born, you have been given a body, right? But have you been born again? Are you a new creation in Christ? Have you made a decision to trust Jesus Christ to be your Lord? And Lord means he is above all things. You're no longer the manager of you. Under new management, right? Is he the Lord? Or is he just a piece of jewelry? A little cross? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the boss of your life? Are you under new management? Do you come under him? Is he the Lord of your life? And then, is he Savior? You can't save you. The Bible has, God has a plan. He laid it all out for us. You can't save you. Only he can do it. You can become a new creation. And then you can begin to walk in his will. And look, we came to know two people that did that this past week here at the Night of Thanks, these testimonies that were shared. And look, God is making more and more testimonies in this place, changing lives. And maybe you're next. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Help us to know what it is to be a new creation in Christ. I pray for those in here that have been struggling to find peace. And I pray that you'll settle their hearts and help them to know that you created them. You have a purpose and a plan, that you are the one that lights the path and you can direct their steps. I pray that you'll show them that today. We thank you for all that you've given to us, Lord, how you have blessed us. And I pray for each person that each person in this room will not leave this place until they make a decision to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.